I'm Ed Adams, and this is the Weekly Genealogy Toolkit, the podcast that helps new genealogists get the most out of their research time and avoid the most common pitfalls. You may notice that my voice sounds a little different today, and if so, please bear with me. I just got back from a business trip where I did a little more talking than I'm accustomed to and in a much drier climate than I'm used to. That, combined with probably something that I picked up in the airport, I'm left sounding like this. I think it works, though, because I sound like our topic today, burnout. If you've ever worked somewhere longer than, say, 10 years, you've probably had some run-ins with motivational burnout. I know I've felt it from time to time. It's a feeling that goes well beyond being tired or bored or demotivated. It's a soul-crushing sense of immobility. You simply can't make your mind or body focus on the tasks at hand because you're just burnt out. This is usually the time to spend some of your banked up vacation time or see if perhaps there's a role change for you within your organization. Either way, there's usually a few different ways to avoid having to quit your job and start the dreaded process of finding new employment. Likewise, in genealogy, even though for most of us it's just a hobby and not a career, burnout is a real thing that almost all of us will experience if we stay with it long enough. If you've been researching for a few years, and you're past finding all the easy stuff, and now, wherever you look in your family tree, you see a wicked problem that you just don't know how to solve, you might be flirting with burnout. First things first, if this is you, it's okay. If you're having the feeling that you just can't spend one more minute on Ancestry digging into your family, then don't. Just because you may not be actively working on one of your key projects doesn't mean that you have to give up on genealogy. It's a big field, and there's a lot of places where you can build your skills and recharge yourself at the same time. So what can you do if you've hit that wall and the thought of more genealogy has you contending with a growing sense of dread? Well, before anything else, I'd say allow yourself a break. You can take a passive break. Say that you're going to explore some of your other interests and clear your mind and recharge. But give yourself a calendar reminder, maybe a month or two in the future, to think about getting back into it. It's okay to take a break. I certainly hope it's not a break that ends up becoming permanent, but that's where the reminder can come in handy. This may be what you need, but there are ways to take both a break and continue to develop your skills in genealogy by taking what I call an active break, and there are several ways to do this. The first form of active break is to redirect your energy towards a different part of your tree. Most people hit their burnout by continuously and unsuccessfully trying to find that next generation back. If you've made some decent progress on your tree already, this can get harder and harder, and at some point, every line becomes a Herculean task. That doesn't mean that there's nothing to do on your tree, though. For most people, their family tree represents both their ancestral relationships over time, but it's also a history of your skills and care as a researcher over time. Go back to those earlier parts of your tree. Give yourself an audit. Look at all those sources that you've linked to those ancestors when you first started researching. Are all of those really accurate? It's great to discipline yourself by going back through some of those older finds and fact-checking your own work. Most of the mistakes you'll have made will have been made in those first several months of doing research. So if you have some errors in your tree, which you probably do because I'm pretty sure I do, most will be in those ancestors that you researched early on. Make sure you double-check ages to ensure you don't have any children born when the parents were 11. Make sure that there weren't any cases of a second or third marriage that you didn't see earlier. And if there were multiple marriages, have you properly attributed all the children to the different spouses? Have you found all the sources that there are to find? Many of us get started by finding just enough about one generation to move us back on to the next. Spend some time fleshing out those family groups that you sped through, and you'll find your skill level increasing significantly. You can also try looking into one of the lines that you've had less interest in. You may have moved on from that line more due to a lack of interest than to any actual brick wall. Sometimes I find it useful to go back on one of those lines and ask myself the question, why has this line not captured my interest like some of the others? Most often, if I'm being honest with myself, it's because that line is either located in an area that I'm unfamiliar with, or they belong to a people group that I don't know as much about. So in short, I basically just decided to not be interested in that line, because that line represents a weak spot in my knowledge and experience. It's fun and easy to play around in your own cognitive backyard, but getting outside of your comfort zone can be challenging, and surprisingly, when you've encountered burnout, sometimes the cure can be as simple as changing up the kind of challenge that you're facing. This brings me to another possible area of exploration when you've hit the wall. Like I said, genealogy is a big field, and it doesn't always consist of record finding and family tree edits. Let's say you look back at one of those lines that you've not been so interested in, and you found that's because they were German Mennonite and you just don't know anything about them. Well, get off the genealogy sites and start learning about early German immigrants, or learn about American Mennonite communities, learn about the Radical Reformation. Any of those things are a breath of fresh air from the slog of trying to get past a particular brick wall, and they'll all leave you better prepared to do better research in the future. Try introducing a friend to genealogy. This is probably an episode in and of itself, because this has to be done carefully, since most people get glassy-eyed and semi-comatose when you start talking about your half-first cousins once removed. But if you find the right moment and the right way, offer to help a friend explore their own past. If you do, please also tell them about this podcast. But seriously, helping others with their families is a great way to explore other skills in genealogy. If you've never had to contend with an adoption, but find that your friend's grandfather was adopted, you're about to learn some new skills. If you've never worked on a Jewish line, but your friend's name is Goldstein, you're about to learn a lot. If your friend is African American, get ready to learn some entirely new ways to do genealogy. Speaking of learning, you might find that the best way to take a break from your family history burnout is to go back to school. There are so many online learning resources these days for genealogy. You can just watch some YouTube tutorials, or perhaps you can tune in on a webinar, either live or recorded. There's a few resources for webinars, but I really like Legacy Tree Webinars. It's affordable, and there are so many good webinars on there, many of them by leading genealogists who are the unquestionable experts in their areas of concentration. You can try looking at everything that's available and then build a curriculum for yourself to work your way through during the course of a few months or a year. If you feel really ambitious, there are several online courses offered by accredited universities like Boston University, University of New Haven, or the University of Strathclyde, and there are some others as well. Some of those are really substantial investments in both time and money, but some offer more introductory ways to experience their online learning without having to take out another mortgage or quit your job. Look online for local genealogical societies or surname projects or cemetery preservation organizations. Try joining one of these organizations or projects and gain a new appreciation for the work that they do that we all benefit from. Visit a few dozen cemeteries in person, and you may find that the way that you go about searching for the burial places of relatives changes. Surname projects are a great way to get a sense of the bigger family. You may find yourself being able to back into your brick wall versus having to break through it. Once you've explored one or more of these avenues of distraction from your burnout, you'll be able to return to your original projects with a refreshed mind and a renewed sense of energy and several more skills under your belt. You'll inherently look at those problems from a different perspective, and you may end up seeing something that you hadn't or that you couldn't see before. Hopefully, if you're listening to this podcast, you aren't burned out. But if you find yourself there one day, just remember that it doesn't have to be the end. If you have a friend who shares your interest in family history but seems like they might be waning on motivation, please share this episode with them. One of my ulterior motives in doing this podcast is to try to draw people into and keep them in the field of genealogy. We all benefit from each other's work, and one day, you might be able to help me in mine. If you heard something today that helped, feel free to reach out to me on Twitter at TheWGTPod. If you're really enjoying the podcast, please leave a review. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time. Next week, we're hitting the road. It's inevitable. If you work on your family history long enough, you're going to want to get out of your house and go do some research in person, or just have the experience of physically being in locations that are significant to your family. So next week, we'll talk about going on your first genealogy road trip and what to expect. I hope you have a great week, and I'll see you then.